The unsatisfactory findings made by the NKVD in Hitler's mouldy bunker a year after his alleged death were driving the Soviets mad. By now, three separate medical and forensic investigations had only managed to establish that there were more than excellent grounds to consider the human bodies they recovered to have been tampered with, dressed up forensically to appear to be Hitler and Eva Braun. After three investigations, the Soviets could not even establish a definite cause of death for either corpse, certainly ones that would in any way tie in to what the German captives were apparently telling them under interrogation. That is, that Hitler shot himself and may also have taken poison, and Eva Braun had munched on cyanide. The forensic evidence from the bodies showed cyanide capsule fragments in each mouth, but no evidence of cyanide compounds in any of the internal organs, a dead giveaway for a stage poisoning. Both bodies were already dead when the cyanide capsules were introduced into their mouths. There were absolutely no gunshot wounds on either body, and the woman had most likely died of artillery shrapnel wounds to the chest. The Soviets hadn't really found evidence in the bunker that two people had died in Hitler's sitting room, one by gunshot to the head. In fact, bloodstains on Hitler's sofa and in Hitler's bedroom were not consistent with the manners of death of the Führer and his wife. In any way, the blood type of both patches of blood was different from Hitler's. And all this after the Soviets had already made it known that Hitler and Eva Braun had died in the manner so well known to modern history books today. None of this pleased the big boss, Stalin, who was breathing down the necks of the investigators, demanding answers. Stalin's question was always the same. Had Hitler escaped? Based on what three investigations had so far found, it was looking like a possibility. Or at least, if not escaped per se, rather escaped detection by the NKVD. In other words, where the hell were the bodies? Hitler had last been seen alive in the mid-afternoon of the 30th of April 1945, and allegedly his body, following a half-hearted cremation, was interred sometime after 7 p.m. that night. So where was Hitler? The suspicion among the Soviets was that they had been duped. The two burned bodies had been left for them to find, fitted with sufficient forensic evidence that would lead them to identify them as Hitler and Eva Braun. That appeared to have been the conclusion of the third NKVD investigation in 1946. But what about the Hitler suicide story? Could he have shot himself somewhere else on his body rather than his right temple? And could evidence be found that might yet prove the burned man who had Hitler's gold dental bridges in his mouth actually be Hitler? If you recall from episode 3, the first autopsy of the burned male corpse in May 1945 revealed that portions of the back of the skull was missing. In medical terminology, the top part of the occiput was missing, which is the top of the vault of the skull. The frustrated NKVD now theorized that Hitler had shot himself through the mouth, the bullet exiting through the missing piece of skull. This was despite there being no evidence from the postmortem of a hole in the floor of the skull where any bullet would have had to have passed. Here comes the truly miraculous part of the story. Though the shell crater where the SS said they had burned and buried Hitler and Eva Braun's bodies had been carefully investigated by Schmersch in May 1945 and later by the NKVD investigation, not to mention dug over many times by others, including Western Allied investigators, the frustrated NKVD returned to the pit in 1946 and investigated it again. And lo and behold, they found pieces of skull, both burned, and one of them, seen here, with a bullet hole neatly drilled through it. The NKVD used the word miraculous in their report to describe its discovery. I might use the word convenient. Anyway, experts have looked at the pieces of bone many times over the last 77 years, and the conclusion is that the large piece with a bullet hole in it isn't a piece of occipital bone, remembering that the skull of the burned man was missing part of the occiput. Rather, the bone fragment is a piece of right parietal bone from the side of the skull, above and behind the temple. The bone junctions on the fragment have led some experts to suggest that the bone was artificially removed from the skull. The reasoning behind that accusation is that the suture lines that hold the skull together are extremely strong and very resistant to fire. A human skull doesn't just fall to pieces when exposed to fire, and certainly not to an open-air petrol fire. The direction the bullet travelled can be worked out from examining the bone fragment and finding its placement on a human skull. And it has been suggested by experts that the bullet travelled from the left frontal parietal area, or the left side of the forehead, exiting the right side of the head. On the burned male corpse, the left side of the head was intact and undamaged by bullets. However, a bullet can be deflected within the skull by a buttress of bone called the sphenoid in the base of the skull. A shot could have been made through the mouth, and the bullet diverted by the sphenoid to exit the skull where the bone was missing on the burned man. But again, it would have punched a hole through the base of the skull and the palate, neither of which was noted by forensic pathologists in May 1945. None of this really helped the Soviet case. In the end, the NKVD asserted that the woman had died from cyanide poisoning and had been hit by shrapnel whilst lying dead outside during the cremation. These two suppositions are demonstrably untrue according to Soviet autopsy reports. She was then identified as Eva Braun, based on Eva Braun's real gold dental bridge found loose in the corpse's mouth, a dental bridge that many people involved in its construction or in the dental care of Eva Braun said was never placed in her mouth while she was alive. So according to the NKVD, Eva Braun died from cyanide poisoning, exactly as the German witnesses always asserted, and as the current story goes. Secondly, the male corpse was Hitler, because his real dental bridges had been found in the corpse's mouth. Now this is important. The dental bridges, as they are shown today in the Soviet archives, some of them are attached to a piece of jawbone. The question was, were they found actually attached to the jaws of the burned man, or were they found loose and subsequently attached to pieces of jawbone that were taken from the body? Käthe Heusermann, who was Dr. Blaschke's dental assistant, who treated Hitler regularly, said that she was only shown the dental bridges separated from any kind of jaw fragments. The Soviets, however, assert that Käthe Heusermann and Fritz Echtmann, Blaschke's dental assistant, who had made some of these bridges, were indeed shown freshly excised portions of jawbone, still covered with bits of flesh, and with the dental bridges still attached. So it comes down to the point whether you believe the Soviets, what they said. If you do, it's Adolf Hitler, because the bridges were perfectly fitted to the excised jaw. If you don't, and you believe Käthe Heusermann, Fritz Echtmann, etc., then there is some doubt over whether this corpse is indeed Hitler's, because the bridge work could have been placed loose in the mouth of a corpse that was altered in some way to appear to be Hitler's. The corpse, however, had a missing piece of skull, and, interestingly, a piece of skull fragment with a bullet hole neatly drilled through it was found in the same pit where the SS said they had burned Hitler. Perhaps he had also crunched on cyanide, as many witnesses stated, as the Soviets had also found a crushed ampule in the corpse's mouth. However, once again, there is no evidence of cyanide compounds anywhere else in the body, indicating that the person was dead when the cyanide was placed in their mouth. Therefore, the weight of evidence, according to the NKVD, was that they had found Hitler's body. The most important point in identifying Hitler's body was the dental bridge work. Case closed. But if you followed all the Soviet evidence thus far presented in this series, you'll know that the only way the bodies were positively identified by the Soviets was by the selective cherry-picking of forensic evidence to fit their supposition, and ignoring all forensic evidence that contradicted that supposition. The supposition being that these are the bodies of Hitler and Eva Braun. The Soviet pathologists did their jobs properly, recording what they really found, but political forces decided how that evidence was ultimately presented. Incredibly, when the Soviet Union broke up in 1991, Western scientists were able to begin to properly test some of the artifacts the NKVD and Schmersch had recovered in 1945-46. The testing of the skull fragment was conducted via the University of Connecticut in 2009. Visual examination of the bone revealed that it was too thin to have been male, and the way the suture lines on the skull had come together corresponded to someone under the age of 40. Hitler was 56 at the time of his alleged death. A DNA analysis showed that the skull fragment came from a woman. DNA was also sequenced from bloodstains on wood and fabric from the sofa from Hitler's sitting room, where Hitler supposedly had shot himself. It was definitely identified as male. One of the main Soviet points of evidence for Hitler's death, the skull fragment with the bullet hole, was shown to be bogus. There is a suggestion that this was actually planted by the NKVD in the shell crater so they could tell Stalin absolutely they have found evidence that Hitler shot himself. And of course, somebody made a mistake. And any kind of forensic examination by outsiders of this information, free of political taint, can see that it does not fit with the story. We also know, of course, there is no story that Eva Braun was shot in the head or shot herself through the head. So again, probably this skull fragment cannot be tied to Eva Braun either. Where it came from, we will never know. So where does all this leave the established story concerning the deaths of Hitler and his wife? Well, it leaves a lot of unanswered questions and a feeling that there is something more than a little strange with the burned body of the man and woman found in the hole in the Reich Chancellery garden. You can also understand how this and other aspects of this story have fueled rumours that Hitler escaped in 1945. However, there is also another theory about what happened to Hitler, and it's a theory backed by some evidence, and it's interesting because this theory has been seemingly overlooked in the void between the Soviet investigation and the deluge of endless conspiracy theories concerning Hitler escaping to Argentina, Antarctica, or the moon. It seems historians just chose to ignore it.